WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 5 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Ah, this is one of those days you feel like you could save the world. It's beautiful outside. It's amazing how much a little bit of sunshine will just change your perspective. And oh, so very nice. So nice. And I guess it really is spring because I got to spend a little time throwing the baseball this afternoon, getting the 9-year-old lefty ready for Little League season. That's so much fun. My glove hand is sore. Man, he makes it snap. It's pretty cool. Definitely looking forward to that, and especially the day games during the weekends. What do we got tonight? Tonight it's daytime. We're still cooking along on 5,000 watts. That's really exciting. There's any number of things really. But I guess the top of the news is what President Deficit brought his Bamboozle Palooza tour to Parkersburg today, and tried to palm off his little Ponzi scheme to unsuspecting West Virginians. How many Kool-Aid drinkers did they fit in there at WVUP? I don't know. But an interesting. An interesting story, nonetheless, just the very idea that he would visit the Bureau of the Public Debt. That's just funny. Social Security's in trouble because I want it. And the best part is there are people out there that actually believe that garbage. Now, from a local standpoint, because I drive by it every day, because it's happening in the county where I live, I can't help but notice the fact that they're already moving earth at the Walmart site, or the proposed Walmart site in Fayetteville, there along U.S. 19. And they haven't even been cleared to do it yet. That's all right. We'll just walk all over the law because we'll bias a favorable decision. And sure enough, there was a hearing this morning in Fayetteville. And one fella came out and said, Fayetteville needs the jobs and economic development that the shopping mall would bring. Newsflash, timeout, whatever. That Walmart's not going to bring any jobs. That's going to bring a whole bunch of cheap Chinese garbage to Fayette County. It'll kill off what little business is there in what is a charming little county seat town. It'll kill off a bunch of stuff. You lose 3 jobs for every 2 that Walmart creates. And the 2 jobs that Walmart creates are garbage jobs. McJobs. If you're part-time there, no health care for 2 years. When you do get the health care, you can't afford it. And you get the signal honor of helping Americans be a little less American every time they walk in there by buying some more Chinese junk. Now, I'm not xenophobic. I honor and I revere the Chinese culture and the Chinese people. But you know what? I got to worry about home first. And this Walmart is going to do us no good. It's going to create a big empty place over in Oak Hill when they bail out of that store. And so that'll just be an ugly scar left on Oak Hill's landscape. And we're going to have the Death Unlimited with another on-grade intersection at U.S. 19. Well, maybe they can put up some more yellow flashing lights that flash all the time. Sometimes it just looks like there's a failure of common sense. And, of course, the, as we've noted before, the constant din of
clean up an aisle three
over the entire PA system so that folks who live out Nickelville Road can hear
clean up an aisle three
at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's going to be just great. And there's and it's not just Walmart. It's Lowe's. Great. Another big box store to go to where nobody knows how to help you when you need to know which widget you want to buy. You can grow old in Lowe's. Have you noticed that? Trying to get a little help. Eh, figure it out for yourself. We're not here to help you. This is a big box store. We're here to help you consume, not do anything right. And 13 other stores that we probably don't need, none of which will sell anything American. But what are we thinking? What are we thinking? Are we thinking? There's still an open question as to whether or not there are graves on this property. Some people, there ain't no dead people on that property. Bulldoze it. And, of course, the people from Paramount are, yes, let us bulldoze the bodies. God. I mean, does every square mile of America need a Walmart? Well, Bob, the gasoline's getting expensive, and it's going to be hard for us to drive to Summersville or Oak Hill for our Walmart. Then don't do it. Heavens to Betsy. We're going to have to learn to conserve, or we're going to have conservation foisted upon us. And there is nobody in the Walmart world that wants you to even consider conservation. You understand? If the jeans get a little thin in the knee, they don't want you to patch them. They don't want you to do what your parents and your grandparents, your great grandparents would have done, made a pair of pants last another 6 months. They want you to come in and plop down more money and buy some Chinese blue jeans, and maybe you'll buy a Chinese shirt, or a pair of Indonesian socks, or some Vietnamese tennis shoes. And everything you purchase at Walmart is a knife that you put in the back of American workers. People who saw their jobs making shoes and socks and underwear and shirts and pants outsourced to China because Walmart isn't making enough money. It all does tie together in the end, doesn't it? Somewhere along the way, we've got to wake up. And when Fayetteville's on its knees, is there going to be anyone there saying, "Oh boy, sure, I'm glad that Walmart came here"? Are the city fathers going to attend the first funeral of someone killed at that intersection? Because everywhere Walmart goes, there is a nightmare intersection. Are they going to deliver a funeral address from one of those intersection wrecks? Will the mayor of Fayetteville come out and say, "Walmart brought progress to Fayetteville. Thanks to Walmart, these fine people were able to buy their casket for less"? It's sickening. It is truly sickening. So, you know, sit back, relax, untie your Chinese tennis shoes, take off your Chinese shirt down to your, you know, Indonesian t-shirt. Get yourself a glass of artificially flavored, artificially sweetened beverage and relax. Because we're going to have fun tonight. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
And the slate is wiped clean. Is this the year you find true love? Because if you really want to find, you've got to be willing to seek. And the best place to start your search is Cupid.com. Even if you don't know exactly what you're looking for, Cupid's AutoMatch helps you find guys with your favorite traits and qualities. Basic memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from Gold members, a service you usually pay for at other sites. But the greatest thing about Cupid.com is their local focus. They bring you together with people who live close by, people who can actually be there for you. All you've got to do is go to Cupid.com and browse their pictures and personals with complete anonymity. Whether it's online or at one of their fun local events, when Cupid.com helps you see, true love is what you find.
Cupid.com. Advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. And on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. Straight to the phones. Phone number, of course, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. No sense in trying right now because we're all stacked up, but hang in there. Mary Lou is with us. Hey, Mary Lou, you're head on.
Hello, how are you, Bob?
Doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing great. It's good to get up and the sun's still shining.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You feel a little less like a vampire, don't you? You feel a little less like a vampire.
Yes. What I wanted to talk about was the land over there at Fayetteville.
Right.
I don't think they'll ever get that straightened out, Bob.
Mary Lou, they're moving dirt right now.
Well, they've been moving dirt.
No, I drive by there every day. They moved the earth moving equipment on in the last week, and on Friday they had started scarring the earth.
You know, but what I don't understand is that now they try to tell that Civil War cemetery wasn't there, and they tell all this stuff. And there's 60 acres with that farm, and then there's 9 acres there that adjoins that farm that's landlocked that don't belong to nobody, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got what? It's got like a pond on it. And I kid you not, Bob, those fish that are caught out of that pond, they don't have no eyes.
My goodness.
And I can really admire Miss Erisman for the fight that she has put up for this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The man across the road is getting older, and he wants to sell his farm. But yet they won't, you know, they don't talk to him. But yet all the people over there, they don't want that community run.
Well, Mary Lou, what they're going to do is they're going to wait until they've moved in there and they've driven the value of all that surrounding property down.
And there's some beautiful homes out there, Bob.
Yes, there are.
Beautiful homes. Miss Erisman has a beautiful home, and she's the closest one to the farm. And she's an RN. I know her from the hospital. She's a great lady, and she has really put up a fight against this, and I just hope she can win.
Well, you know, there's so many things that are worth considering. Walmart's not out there offering to upgrade Fayetteville's water system, but it's going to put a load on that water system that it can't bear, and Fayetteville's water system already fails from time to time.
Well, I know about that. See, my sister and her ex-husband used to own the Mary Clark Farm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a long story there too. But and I know how the water went out, and it went out for days. They want to build more than Walmart there, Bob.
Yeah, they want a Lowe's, and they want 13 more stores. I mean, that's already in the works. Heaven knows what we haven't heard about yet.
Oh, it was a Revco, a Lowe's, and if I think long enough, I probably could remember them all. And it's her ex-husband is one that's doing it, and he's living in North Carolina, and it's him that done it.
Well, you know, there is a public hearing. I'd like to go, but it's scheduled for 6 o'clock Thursday night at the Fayetteville American Legion Hall. I wish I could be there.
Well, of course, I won't be going to that, but I have talked to Miss Erisman on the phone, and she's handling it good, and her lawyer is, too. And I do hope she can at least get it moved to the opposite side of the road, he is older and he wants to sell his land, and that land's just as pretty. Basically, it's leveler than that.
Well, they're committed to what they're doing there on the Fleischman farm, Mary Lou, because like I said, they're already destroying the earth for it.
I know. Well, they were moving it this time last year, but I just wonder if what will happen at the next meeting if they will just say, go ahead and build it.
We have got to succeed in educating the public about what depredations Walmart really brings. You say you'd like to see it at least across the road. I don't want to see it at all. We don't need it.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I don't know how many Walmarts they can build. Look how many is in Beckley.
You know, there's a great little grocery store, Daniels, in Fayetteville.
Yes.
It'll kill that. It'll kill
the Ben Franklin store.
It'll kill the Ben Franklin. It'll kill my food land across the river.
Yes.
And frankly, I don't appreciate being compelled to shop at a Walmart because it'll take Kroger's down, too.
I'm glad you said food line because I think that was one of the stores they wanted to put there, but they'll probably put Kroger's there. If you've heard Kroger's, it'll probably be Kroger's.
Well, no, I mean we've got the Kroger's right up there at the Fayette Crossing or whatever it is. They'll put them under. They'll destroy my food land. They'll destroy Daniels. They'll destroy Ben Franklin. Because
and all the little mom and pop places.
Yeah, that's what the Walmart exists to do, is to destroy every other business and be the only business in the area, and then they rape the consumers.
But what they need to do, Bob, is all the people of Fayetteville, like you who live over there, and all the neighbors just stick together and go to that meeting.
Well, you'd be surprised the number of people who say, oh, we want the jobs. They don't understand that the jobs aren't worth the tinker's damn. I mean, they're not good jobs.
They won't get no 40-hour weeks there, Bob.
And they won't get any benefits, and they won't get any pension, and they won't get any health care.
No.
They'll be forced to work off the clock. The women that work there will be abused like they are everywhere.
Yes.
That's nothing to make a town proud, Mary Lou, is
it? No, plus we're running that beautiful neighborhood that's in behind that.
Yeah, and the traffic congestion, that'll probably add 5 to 10, you know, just adding that intersection will probably add 5 to 10 minutes to my commute, which is a little more gas I have to burn.
Sit there and let the gas burn up.
Yeah.
And who can afford to do that now? Nobody can.
Right.
As high as it is. But it'll be interesting to see what they do, but if they're moving the ground, they must think that they're really going to get it this time.
No, I think they think they've got the inside track on this. But somebody needs to tell the Fayetteville powers that be that there is a group of people that will bust their rear ends to make sure that they never get to serve as so much as dog catcher if they let this through.
Well, she's got a bunch of people with her, so I hope that she can.
Well, if you know her and you talk to her, you tell her I'm behind her, even though I can't be there Thursday night.
Oh, I will. She's a lovely lady, Bob.
I'm sure she is.
She's a wonderful lady, and I wish her all the luck in the world, and I just wanted you to know that I support her.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Mary Lou. You have a great night, all right?
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And Jose. Hey, Jose, you're head on. Jose.
Yes.
How are you this evening, sir?
Well, it's rough, Bob.
Not as rough as it is with 6 inches of snow on the ground, though.
Well, no, but the school teacher told me it's hard by the yard. Life.
That's true.
And it's getting worse. Walmart's a giant in the earth. It's going to take everything from the poor people.
Yep.
And it's going to get worse. No better.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, I stopped on the way home to buy gas last night. I paid $2.30 a gallon.
That's another giant company.
Sure.
The fleeces, they'll take everything. The food stores and Walmarts and oil and big business.
Well, they're out to destroy us, Jose. They really are. And I don't understand why. I don't understand their thinking, because somebody's got to buy their stuff somewhere along the way for them to keep making profits.
Yeah, that's true.
When they've destroyed us, who's going to buy their stuff?
Well, I don't know. It'll just be sitting in a big building left over. The spoils. We get the spoils, don't we?
I suppose. And the meek shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
But he didn't say what kind of earth we were going to inherit.
Well, it ain't going to be like it is now. I mean, greed and big business, and I think it'll go back more to, you know, agriculture and back to the living off the land.
You know, that's not such a bad idea, Jose, but what are we going to do when we find out that they've also poisoned the air and poisoned the water and poisoned the earth?
Well, all that is going to be eradicated, and change. There's a big change coming.
Well, Hunter Thompson said, big darkness soon come. I'm beginning to wonder if he wasn't right.
Yeah, I think it's close at hand. And I was going to tell you about the Pope. You know, he was either tried to assassinate him, didn't they?
Yeah, Muhammad Aja, a Turkish man, shot him.
And that's a religious, ain't that religious?
There's probably I think he was crazy, but there was probably an element of religious fanaticism involved.
I mean,
there.
Ain't that the Muslims and that part of the country that they're having the problems with now, ain't that?
Well, we're not having so much problems with the Turks. I mean, he was a Turk, but I think he was crazy first and Muslim second.
Oh, okay. Well, and then they took the Pope, rushed him to the hospital, and gave him a blood transfusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he never was right from that time on.
Well, he was in the hospital for 78 total days after that assassination attempt.
Yes. And blood transfusion, and he don't know what he got. He could have been suffering from AIDS and things like that through the transfusion because he don't know what he got.
Well, you know, you do have a point because that all happened before we knew how to clean up the blood supply.
And also Ronald Reagan, when they attempted to shoot him, he also got a blood transfusion, and it affected him. He never was right. And, you know, he had Alzheimer's and everything.
Right.
So it's sad that the way things is coming to a climax.
They may well be. The only question is what it'll be.
Like last night, Jim singing that song. I'm telling you, it can happen anywhere. They all congregate there in the Vatican, and never know what they'll do.
Well, that's more reason for all of us to keep our eyes wide open, isn't it, Jose?
Our head up, yeah, that's right.
I sure do appreciate your call. We got to hit the break, though.
Jehovah bless.
And
bye.
You as well, sir.
Good night.
Good night. And time for our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Couple of lines open now, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Mercer County teacher has been charged with 4 counts of third-degree sexual assault and 4 counts of sexual abuse by a parent, guardian, or custodian. Timothy Colbert, a teacher at Spanishburg School, was arraigned on the charges Friday and released on $20,000 bond. The alleged offenses took place at the school during the 1998-99 term, and involved a 14-year-old student. The investigation started in March when the former student notified state police. Mercer County School Superintendent Dr. Deborah Akers says Colbert had been relieved of all classroom duties effective immediately. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for April 19th. Traffic stop on the turnpike has led to the arrest of 6 people on drug charges. Early Saturday morning, state police stopped a car at mile marker 52, found marijuana and crack cocaine. 3 people in the car were released, or rather arrested, and charged with possession of a controlled substance and conspiracy to sell cocaine. The arrests led to the search of a Beckley residence, where 3 additional people were arrested and charged with possession and conspiracy. City officials have released preliminary results of a study on parking in the Uptown section, and Mayor Pugh says the study shows there is a deficit of parking spots near the courthouse on weekdays between 10 a.m. and noon. It suggests about 160 parking spots within 200 to 300 feet of the courthouse and the United Bank building. The study shows that there are 3,277 total parking spaces in Uptown Beckley, and of those, 305 are on street spaces, the remainder are off-street. The public has access to about 1,000 of those spaces by lease, meter, or free. Trial of a Beckley man accused of killing two men and wounding a third in what prosecutors call a drug-related shooting is set to begin May 17th. It will stay in Raleigh County. Circuit Judge John Hutchinson declined to grant a change of venue for 19-year-old Brandon Watts. That's the news. Now here's the spring-like forecast. Looking good. Sunny this evening, tonight clear, low 50. And then tomorrow, sunny in the morning, becoming partly cloudy by afternoon. Tomorrow's high again, mid-70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
I'm Jesse Russell.
Thousands of workers and their families are expected in the streets of San Francisco today to protest what they say are the anti-worker policies of California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Tim Paulson is executive director of the San Francisco Central Labor Council.
He's traveling the state right now, and he's collecting money from corporate interests to basically attack workers' rights.
Paulson says that Schwarzenegger's fundraiser in San Francisco to finance his anti-worker agenda costs $100,000 a person just to get in the door. Paulson says even former right-wing House Speaker Newt Gingrich thinks that it's crazy for Republicans like Schwarzenegger to go after working families on issues like pensions and Social Security.
When they talked about privatizing Social Security or talking away defined benefits, Newt Gingrich said, are these guys crazy? They're getting workers pissed off, they're getting seniors pissed off, and they're getting the Democrats pissed off.
Labor in South Korea has great skills when it comes to mass mobilization. The U.S. military organizing firsthand. Washington recently announced it would be firing 1,000 workers at U.S. bases across the Asian Peninsula. And in response, the Korean Employees Union has threatened to launch sit-ins, hunger strikes, and walkouts that could disrupt the ability of bases to operate. More than 15,000 Korean workers are employed at U.S. bases.
More than 1,400 workers on strike at aluminum producer Ormet continue to press for a fair contract now that Ormet has emerged from bankruptcy. Denny Longwell with the United Steelworkers of America says Ormet doesn't care about its workers or the communities near its plants in southeastern Ohio, and he says the company is using hardball tactics against the union.
Ormet has a guy under contract that put a shotgun in the face of our members. We don't have anything to do with guys like that. We don't bring felons into the community to serve as security guards.
Ormet has a history of OSHA safety violations and fines. Longwell says an employee working in the aluminum foundry to help break the strike was recently seriously burned.
Got burnt from the waist down with molten metal. The temperature of that molten metal is 1,000 degrees or more. Instead of bringing him out of there in an ambulance that they have, they brought him out of there in a personal vehicle, so we wouldn't know he got hurt.
New Ormet talks are scheduled for next Wednesday and Thursday.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Home purchases by single women are up. The National Retail Association reports that in 2003, 1 in 5 homes were purchased by single women. That's close to 2 million homes. Single women are the fastest growing home buying population, increasing by more than 30% over the past decade. In addition, Fannie Mae reports that single women will head 28% of households by 2010.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness, Bob Kincaid, head on.
Welcome back. 26 minutes before 8 o'clock. Off to a roaring start tonight. It's a beautiful, beautiful Tuesday night. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number, of course, you know this, 252-6200, outside Beckley. It's 800-620-9967. And the email, bob@headonradio.com. And, of course, the live stream at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. That's, if you're listening on the stream, you'd probably want to be using the toll-free number and let us pay the freight because we're just that nice. Let's go back to the phones. Your Rockmail is with us. Hey, Your Rockmail, you're head on.
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah, I'd like to add to your diatribe about the Walmart.
Okay.
The Walmart. You see, you're not doing a good enough job here, Bob.
Oh, no.
You're not putting Hitler out of business here with this diatribe because we got to straighten out this Walmart here. Because I was talking about Walmart, I remember I called you months ago and I said, Oh, by the way, I got you on the radio real loud and clear tonight.
Yeah, it'll stay that way for about 10 more minutes.
Oh, great. Well, I said, well, sometimes I go there because I can't afford this and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I started going there, and I said, well, Myra's just like a one-stop shop type of thing. Everybody's abusive. The Walmart is just like anybody else. Anyway, you know, if somebody doesn't trade right with me, they'll never see me again.
Right.
Well, the problem is not the Walmart. The problem is the people who don't have enough brains, Bob.
To stay out of Walmart.
Once you go in there, that place is the most bizarre place. The people are disgruntled. They're abused. I've heard this, you know, from people.
Yeah, and we're not just talking about the workers. We're talking about the people that are doing their shopping, too.
Right.
I don't see...
I've been abused in there, and I said to myself, this is satanical. I've heard of impersonality and mechanized society and dehumanization. This is it.
Up and
this
down.
The most sinister... Well, how's that?
I said up and down it is. The only smiling face in that building is that big yellow demonic thing.
Well, all I can tell you is the way they behave, and I just told somebody recently, I was talking to somebody on the phone, and he said, he's kind of older man. He said, I went to the Walmart, and I measured the TV because I needed a certain size because I'm getting old. My eyes can't see anything too small. He measured the box.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know that the TV is smaller than the box with all that packaging material.
Sure.
The woman working there, or the young lady, whatever, she helped him measure the box. That smiley, measure the box. He drove all the way home, which was quite a distance, because this is a Walmart, you know, some other area, not in your area. But
right.
He drove all the way, took it out, and found out that it was too small. I said to him, I don't shop there anymore. And he said, well, I'm thinking of not doing that either. People, Bob, the banks are abusing people by sneaking in fees, you know, that you don't realize,
right.
You know what I mean? And if you read the small print, we're all being abused so much. We're being stunned by all of these scorpions. And I once called the bank a few years ago, and I said to the person I speak to, I said, I hate you. She said, they wanted to report me as threatening an institution, you know, a federal institution.
Oh, for God's sake.
So if you want to report me, you better quote exactly what I said, because I didn't threaten you.
No.
Allowed to hate you. And I said, I'm going to pray for God's wrath upon you. I'm American. A bank, by definition, is security, confidence, trust. That's your bank. They care about you. They're responsible. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You stick your hand in the damn lion's mouth, and they bite it off, and the stupid, dummy Americans. I'll never cease to be amazed at the asininity of the American people after 9/11. That's the greatest hoax perpetrated on this nation by these Machiavellian freaks since the damn Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, you're right.
Nope. And the whole thing was a hoax. We didn't know. We would have known that they would have killed all those people. We would not have allowed it. That's exactly what they wanted.
Sure.
Blood-sucking freaks.
All you got to do is take a look. You know, they identified the hijackers in a matter of minutes, if you recall. And yet, with all these, I read the manifests for each of the planes. There was no Mohammed Atta on any of the planes. I remember that. But they knew who did it, just like that. You know,
he was the
ringleader. He flew one of the planes into one of the buildings.
Well, wait a minute. How come his name wasn't on there?
I don't know. I mean, they had the video footage of him checking through, giving, you know, here's my ticket, can I have a window seat, you know, that kind of stuff.
Did he sign by a different name?
Not that I can tell, because they identified him by name within a day. Remember?
Yeah,
Mohammed Atta.
I don't have all the details. Yeah. One thing I know, look, I'll give you an example, Waco. When Waco happened, the media told us that the long-haired, sandal-wearing, peacenik agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms peacefully, daintily served a peaceful warrant. Peaceful warrant. They were attacking them. They were throwing I have an account here from Judge Napolitano, Constitutional Chaos. It's a great book.
Yeah.
Make my hair stand on end. They were literally attacking. They shot at them, not because they shot at peaceful agents. They shot at them because they were throwing grenades through the roof. And they were acquitted. You see what I'm saying?
Were they even
I didn't know that.
They weren't even charged.
Excuse me?
I said they weren't even charged, let alone acquitted. I mean, they were. What happened at Waco was, in some ways, quietly brushed under the rug.
Yeah, but the thing is, the media said that the people and the cult members in Waco had killed, cold-blooded murder, these peacenik hippies.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, that's what they all said on the news. I knew it was wrong. I didn't know all the details, but I could smell a rat. That whole show of force was to justify the existence of the government agency, you know, because they wanted to close, whatever.
Well, I mean, look, turning back to 9/11 just for a minute, you rock meal. What were we told to do immediately after 9/11? What were we told it was our patriotic duty to do?
Have more fun and don't pay attention.
Go shopping. Yeah, go shopping and fly to Florida.
Right.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
Right. Keep using the airplanes. Keep them in business. You know, it's going to destroy this nation, many things, but there's one three-letter word that's going to destroy the United States of America, and that's F-U-N, fun. People are so dopey-headed. And
well,
they're living in a fool's paradise.
Well, and it's the definition of, I mean, I understand what you're saying, your Aunt Mill, but to take it a step further, it's the definition of fun.
Fool-headedness.
Fool-headedness. Yeah, the you know, we preach family values, and yet everything, we encourage the dissolution of our families and what passes for family fun. You know, I wish I'd had more time. I had great joy with my son in the yard today, just pitching a baseball back and forth. That was fun. It didn't cost me.
Oh, yeah, no, that means that you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
It's one thing to enjoy yourself, but when they say fun, they don't mean enjoyment. They mean, you know, like paganistic orgy or something. I don't know what they mean. You know, like irresponsibility.
Well, they want you to, if you don't have your credit card out for your fun, it ain't fun.
Well, you know something, Nietzsche said, that's just that which is difficult I do. And he also said at the end of Zarathustra, he said, of course, you know, Zarathustra was really himself. He said, why should I care about my suffering? I'm doing my work. And a lot of people wouldn't like to hear that. But, you know, my fun, most people would consider not to be fun. I like to do things, you know, that require discipline. But I will enjoy myself eventually. But in order to get there, I have to sort of be a little bit aggravated on the way. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah, well, I remember once, Rock Mill, I took some grief. You know, I worked my work through the week, you know, what I did to keep the lights on and feed the family, that kind of stuff. And Sunday rolled around. Never mind the issues of what is a Sabbath. But Sunday rolled around, and I got out on my garden tractor, and I was out there mowing the grass.
Uh-huh.
Now, bear in mind that what I was doing at the time for a living, you know, it was a lot of skull sweat and not much physical activity. And it was Sunday, and I was out there mowing my grass, and somebody stopped and told me that I was tap dancing on God for mowing my grass on Sunday. And I said, but this ain't work. This is fun. This is a chance for me to, you know, for me to commune and you know, thank God. And, you know,
it's your spirituality.
Yeah. And
it's your opportunity to get away from the rat race.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yourself.
You know, it wasn't the rat race. It was the grass race. You know,
right.
And you know, people get locked into these paradigms of, you know, it's got to be this way or
man
no
was
way.
Made, Sabbath was made for man.
Right.
And man was not made for the Sabbath. Yeah, I know what you mean. They get very dogmatic about, well, you can't have communion with a rice wafer because it has to be wheat.
Oh, I know.
Dogma. And so how are you going to have communion? That is nasty. But, you know, I was reading in the Bible how it says if you can't have the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, which is the first month of spring, then you can have it on the second month. Then Ezekiel, the king, they had an emergency. They couldn't have it ready, so they had it on the second month. And the people were not purified, but they had it anyway because they couldn't help it. And then they had it 2 weeks of Passover instead of 1 week because they had so many people. You know, it was like an emergency situation. So they broke the rules.
Yeah.
And it says that God healed the people. He healed them. And if somebody else would have said, "Well, that's heresy. You're breaking the rules."
Right. Exactly. And you know, and it's that lockstep mentality. You're right. Well, it's going to drive us nuts. Hey, I got to roll on, but I sure do enjoy it. I hope we'll hear from you again.
I hope so.
Okay. Take care.
Yeah.
Thanks. Let's see. Maggie. Hey, Maggie. You're head on. Maggie.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Doing fine. Have you heard on the subject about Boy George had to say in Parkersburg today?
No, I have not. Have you?
No, I haven't heard it.
I was kind of looking around for that.
What kind of lies he was spreading this time?
Well, I mean, at least we know what he was doing, Maggie. He was up there lying. That's what he does.
Well, if the people haven't got enough of him, let them listen to some more of it. And talking about this Walmart situation. The next 3 years with George Bush, one won't be able to take care of all of
them. I'm losing you there, Maggie. You still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, there you are.
Talking about the Walmart situation.
Yeah.
After George Bush gets through with us, the next 3 years, we're not going. One Walmart would take care of all of us.
I think you may be right, and you know that's the, gather eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die attitude, isn't it? I mean, I was taught that was the wrong way to think, growing up. That, you know, get it while you can. You know, don't sustain yourself for the long haul. Do it now. That was contrary to everything that I was taught growing up, and now it's being crammed down our throats every day.
We're supposed to live for today, not for tomorrow, Bob.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow might not be, we might not be here.
But if we're, but the fact is, if living for today means gotta have a, I mean, I got to thinking about it. There's a Walmart every 20 miles down U.S. 19.
You know that Walmart in Beckley has been here I don't know how many years. And you know how many times I've been in Walmart?
How many?
Twice.
God bless you, Maggie.
I don't go there because I'll tell you why. These crazy young women are hunting for bargains and allow them to run over you with a buggy and kill you.
Well, run over you with a buggy, run over you with their SUV. I mean, it's like Death Race 2000 in the parking lot.
Well, I just don't go because I don't like it in the first place, and I don't like the way the actions of people, and I don't go.
Well,
that they can fight it over there in Fayetteville. Where's Shirley Love and John Tino, that they don't get in on the deal and try to help her?
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. They may already be in on the deal. On the wrong side.
That would be about the situation, I'm sure. But I hope she can stay in there with them, Bob, and win that race.
Well, I tell you what, the public meeting is Thursday night at 6:00, and just for once, if the people who are opposed to it would all take time to go in there and announce that, and not just, you know, not just say I don't want it because I don't want it, lay out the good solid reasons. I mean, the people of Fayette County, we don't have enough in our public coffers to subsidize another Walmart.
No, that's right. And think of the businesses, Bob, it's going to be put out a commission over it.
Sure. And the Fayetteville water system will be nearly destroyed. And it teeters at the very brink of disaster as it stands. There's no good that will come out of this.
No, and Bob, I think there's going to be a bunch of other stores going in, possibly. Lowe's.
Lowe's? Yeah, it's already in the plans. I mean, when they build the Walmart, they're building the Lowe's.
Well,
it's Walmart, and it's Lowe's, and it's 13 other strip mall stores. And I don't know about you, but I've gotten to the point where I don't think strip mall's very pretty.
No, I don't either. I don't like the malls. You know what? I wish they'd bring back the little cities like Beckley used to be and Oak Hill and all that. And put the malls out of business.
You know, with a nice and you know when things are like that, it's more energy efficient too. You know, you've got a town, you go to town, you do your business in town, and you don't have all these businesses scattered out to the four winds.
Well, and I don't have to put up fools are going into one store and out of another. It's dangerous, Bob.
Oh, the traffic nightmare will be absolutely horrifying, Maggie. It will be horrifying, and people will die.
It's bad enough over there the way it is now.
Yeah.
Well, I just hope that they don't get it, but they're going to keep on until they do.
They will not go easily. They're going to have to be told once and for all no. Our friend of the show, Matt, put the kibosh on one up in Morgantown, and it took him years to finally convince them that they had lost from the day they started, that they finally dried up and blew away.
Well, you think they can get by with it over there?
if people will stand up and explain to the rest of their fellow citizens why it's not good for Fayetteville, they won't get away with it. But motivating people to come away, you know, we've got a lot of stuff we have to worry about with, you know, every day, let alone adding a little bit more of going and trying to teach our fellow citizens why Walmart is poison for the community. It's going to be hard to get them out.
It's a sad situation, and I do know that they're the dirtiest people in Fayetteville and Oak Hill that I've ever saw in my life when it comes to laws.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I know people that had personal experience with it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And I have personal reasons to hope to God that that Walmart won't go in.
Well, I'll tell you what, it shows that they think that they've already got people bamboozled, that they're already leveling the earth for it. They're already doing the
artwork. And I thought in this report, Bob, that they've come after the airport?
Well, no, not necessarily. How do you mean?
That they're going to destroy the airport over there.
No, I haven't heard that.
Well, I heard something said on the news about it, and I just wondered, you know what I mean, what they was going to try next.
Well, I will look into that and see what I can find out, Maggie.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you find out, announce it, Bob.
I sure will.
It's time to flank lettuce, you know.
Yes, it is indeed. I'm looking.
And my onions are up.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, there's nothing better than a bowl of beans and cornbread with some nice, sweet, fresh green onions, is there?
And a bowl of lettuce.
With little hot bacon grease.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll talk to you later, Bob.
All right,
good night.
You take care, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye now. Now, see, I'm going to get hungry here. That's no good. We'll just keep it rolling. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Holy irritations. How are you?
I'm just dandy. Yourself?
Mm.
Staying out of seclusion again?
Well, I mean, I just opened my coffin lid so I can get out and stand this daylight saving sign. Now, you know, this Walmart thing and all these strip malls and this, you know, suburban housing developments and all this stuff, it's built on one thing, buddy.
What's that?
The internal combustion engine.
Well, sure it is.
And that's just about to come to a halt.
Yeah,
we know it.
Yeah, these guys are out here making buggy whips, aren't they?
Well, what I'm saying is this. The gasoline will go down by Memorial Day. It's going to be 2.5 gallons.
No, I don't doubt it.
If not more, depending on where you are. Probably in San Francisco, it could be 3, or in larger metropolitan areas.
Well, we did a nickel right here in one day.
I remember. I know.
I mean, like 2 days ago.
I mean, I personally have no love affair with the American automobile. I have one because I need it to go certain places.
It's a tool.
But, you know, I have traveled enough places in my life where I just don't feel the need to anymore. And as far as places like Walmart are concerned, you have people in there. Now, the Rockville told the story about the guy at the TV set, right?
Yep.
Well, didn't the employee have sit stuff to look on the box and see how big the TV set was? They normally tell you that.
Odds are no.
Why would they have to measure a box? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, you know the answer, Jim.
Well, the thing
you're trying to be, you're out there being charitable again.
You can't find anything, and the people who work there, they don't know where anything is. And these poor people are cut down to less than 29 hours a week, so they don't have to pay them benefits.
Right.
And, you know, these Walmarts don't pay any land taxes because they lease, correct?
A lot of them. Now, it's my understanding some of them are bought land now, but I'm not entirely certain on that.
Well, I'll tell you, I hope that there's a huge transition to roller skate ranks because when gasoline gets so high in this country that people can't afford to shop like that anymore, and they're going to have to go to the core, you know, the old-time way of downtown shopping because, mm-hmm. or where it's near them.
Yep.
I think that these Walmarts are going to disappear.
Well, see, that's what they're trying to do right now, though, Jim. I mean, you got it. This is a chess game, and they're usually 3 or 4 moves ahead of us. Like I said, they're trying to get it in a position. Well, back up just a minute. When Sam Walton was still alive, now, granted, he was a good old Southern gentleman, and he was no friend of the worker. You know, he believed that there were...
No.
He believed that there were working people, and there were people who needed to own the working people. I mean, you know, he was an Arkansas boy. But he was very, very judicious in how he expanded Walmart. The Supercenter and all that garbage only came after he died.
Well, right? It was his son.
But, well, yeah, the $25 billion-a-piece Walmart heirs... But what they're doing is they are trying to work in advance of the fuel crisis, because they're trying to make sure that there is a Walmart within reach of every single human being in America. Okay? From where I live, for instance, 25, 28 miles to Summersville, maybe 15, 16 miles to the one in Oak Hill. So they're going to move one a little bit closer to me. Because that way, you know, and the thinking is they're going to be closer than Kroger's is. So they're going to put Kroger's out of business. They're going to have better volume than Daniel's in Fayetteville. So they're going to put Daniel's out of business. They're going to have better prices than the Foodland on my side of the river. So they're going to put them out of the business. It's the Goom department store. We've talked about it before, Jim.
Oh, yeah, we have. And the people in there look like the ones that I saw when they were in the Goom department store buying that horrible brand of Soviet type toothpaste.
Yeah, and you know that there's an element of the dumbing down of the workforce. You know, I don't want to goon on a worker, but the fact of the matter is, I was in a fast food establishment the other day. Shame on me. I was in a hurry, but the bill was something like $4.03, and I gave the guy a $5 bill and 3 pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at me like I had just landed from another planet.
Did you give him the correct...
Well, I made it so he could just hand me a dollar bill back. But the thing is, he knew to just punch 5 and total, and it would tell him how many coins to give me back. I gave him 503 for 403, and it completely blew his mind.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing about it is, these Walmarts, if they build that many... I mean, eventually, these things are going to cave in on themselves.
Well, I think
they really
so.
Are, because those stores are not built to handle local neighborhood shopping.
Well, and the other thing is, the national Walmart supply chain, Jim, is such that you understand military logistics.
Yes, I do.
Their supply chain is overextended.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And all when gasoline hits that $3.50, $4 a gallon, it's going to have a real profound impact on that chain.
Sure will. And you know another thing, in Germany, they're running those stores out of there because their working conditions are in direct contravention of German labor law.
Yeah.
And they're having a lot of trouble over there.
Well, I was just growing up at the tail end of the really personal oriented American retail experience, and I don't know, maybe at some point we will get stores back here in Uptown Beckley in the other
well, you remember Harry's?
Okay, yeah, well, and that's
the... Remember what a pleasure it used to be to go in there to talk to the old Bob, the old gentleman, and Harry, the old gentleman from Russia?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, that's sad.
When you walked in there, it wasn't just them being nice. Man, they wanted to sell you stuff, and they knew when you walked in the door what suit size, what your pants length was, what your inseam was, how, you know, whether you liked cuffs or plain, you know. And
right, and if they couldn't have it, they could get it for you within a couple of days.
And we were okay with that, but now we're not okay with it. It's got to happen now, man. And if you don't have what I want, I'll find something I don't want that I'll let you sell me instead.
That's bad. By the way, one last thing before I get out of here.
Yeah.
Social Security.
Yeah.
Bush is at a 63% disapproval rating.
Oh, I know.
And I don't think what he did up in Parkersburg today, he had a few, you know, a few words with people. I wish somebody would see Shui his head. And then they went to look at the box full of IOUs.
Nice.
And they said there was a ream of IOUs in there, about 550 of them.
Yeah, here, George, these are yours, buddy.
Exactly. That's what happened up there.
All right, we're out of here, Jim. Got to roll.
Bye.
Later. Okay, break time. First hour gone in a flash. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. This is head on for a Tuesday night. I just feel all chipper with the warm weather. I don't know. Maybe it's the reptile inside me. You know, they say as a crocodile, the temperature goes up, a crocodile or an alligator gets a little more frisky. Jump. That's me. the Jim mentioned earlier, before the top of the hour break, that the numbers are something on the order of 63% of Americans absolutely refuse the George Bush bamboozle-palooza. And that's true. And it's growing every day. People understand that, you know, this is a little Ponzi scheme. This is a rip-off job that, you know, Social Security has problems. And, of course, you know, I don't know if you've seen the ads where the Republicans are out there like, oh, Democrats aren't offering any solutions. Yeah, bug spray. What we're refusing to do is talk to George about anything that tries to destroy Social Security. See, that's what passes for refusing to. That's what passes for not having any ideas. What they mean, and you got to learn to speak the code. How many times do I have to say? So when a Republican says Democrats don't have any ideas, what they're saying is Democrats don't want to go along with destroying Social Security. There's plenty of ideas out there. Here's one we've mentioned about 6 million times. How about making everybody pay into Social Security, not just the people making $90,000 or less? How about making Warren Buffett pay into Social Security off of everything he makes every year, 6%? He'll never feel it. Oh, that's communism, Bob. Jeez. But to the same extent that the boy blunder, you know, President Obama, baby, to the same extent that people aren't buying his Social Security bamboozle-palooza, you know, the piratization of my generation's retirement, it's getting to the point where just about, well, a majority of Americans aren't buying anything he says, whether it's cut your life or Social Security's sick and we got to kill it to make it better, across the whole gamut. You know, Terry Schiavo needed that tube. They starved her a bit. No, they didn't. All of that. Nobody buys it. A brand new poll out from the Gallup organization. Liberals! the Gallup organization reported a new poll today. President Bong hit. His approval rating has plunged to the lowest level of any president since World War II at this point in his second term. You know, in other words, they compared March of any other second-term president's presidency with George's approval rating. And there's some interesting numbers here. Very interesting numbers. A couple of blips, but suffice to say that from everyone from Truman to George W. Curveball, the lowest rating at this point in the presidency, well, you know, what do you want? He has failed everything he did in his life. He is a miserable, miserable, pitiful failure. His is a legacy of defeat. A legacy of nothing. He is a cipher on the sands of time. And so it is that we find out today from the Gallup organization that only 45% of the American people, and slipping, approve of the way he's mismanaging America. And of that number, listen to this. This shows you the shrinkage of the mouth breathers. I mean, we're getting down to his real core base. The snake handling strychnine drinkers and the multi-billionaires. And they're really a small part of the country. Because only 38% of Americans say that they are satisfied with the state of the country. 59% say they are dissatisfied. Now, I don't know if their Kool-Aid supply got cut off. or if it's just the great awakening and the puppies have their eyes open now, like the joke goes. 1 in 3 Americans, only 33%, say that the economy is excellent or good. That's excellent and good taken together. God only knows how tiny the number is for excellent. The rest of it find it only fair or poor. 66% of America think the economy is only fair or poor. You add on to this the Social Security bamboozle palooza and the screaming scandals that would have impeached a Democratic president. The death daily in Iraq of our soldiers and their civilians. He's turning out to be everything I told you he would be. You remember the name of his first oil company, Arbusto? Because that's Spanish for bush. And his investors jokingly referred to it over Texas highballs. You know, that's a pint of liquor, Texas highball. Referred to the company as Arbusto. Because there he was in the 70s, the only man in the world who could drill a dry hole in Texas. What a loser. What a pitiful loser. And, he operates, for God's sakes, patterns are patterns because they're patterns. But he's a godly man. Mouth breathing. Well, my knuckles is sore from walking on him. So we're finding out who the real core Bush voter is, and it will not be long before what I said becomes true, that there will come a day when people will spit on the ground at the very mention of his rotten, stinking, filthy name. Now listen to some of these presidential numbers. 1949, Truman, 57% approval. Eisenhower, 1957, 65%. I like Ike Swept America, and he had that, he had that little honest streak about him, where even Democrats kind of looked up and went, he's a Republican, but... And Lyndon Johnson, 1965, 69% approval. Of course, he was going to put paid to that with Vietnam. Then there's Richard Pinhead Nixon, 1973, a man who I used to think was a monster. Now turns out he was a liberal Republican. Who knew? 57%. And, of course, in the race to the bottom, the number two least approved of president was, Mommy, ketchup is a vegetable. The bombs begin flying in 5 minutes. Ronald Reagan, he was at 56%. Bill Clinton, having been dragged through the mud and subjected to all manner of hell, 59%. George Race to the Bottom Bush, 45%. So, on the one hand, I could say, woohoo, look, everybody thinks he sucks, and he does. But you can't really do that, because every time you turn the TV on and it's not a report about the Pope's funeral, you hear, George W. Bush, one of the most immensely, intensely godly, popular men ever to occupy the White House, said today. And so they create this aura, the liberal media. Remember the liberal media? They create this aura of George Bush as being someone that the country approves of, when about 66% of us think that he is a total failure, and some portion of that fraction thinks that he is actively evil, which he is. So I can't get too worked up about all of this. And of the 66% that think the economy is only fair or poor, some, 17% of that number voted for the freak in hopes of I know not what. So to that percentage, I would say, great, glad you're on board now. Thanks a million. I just love somebody who screws up and then stands and complains about the screw up. Well, I voted for him, but I didn't expect this to happen. Doofus! Of course it was going to happen. We tried to tell you it was going to happen. And it's going to happen to the folks that voted for him. You know, not the multi-billionaires. They're never going to feel it. They're going to go on eating their Lark's Vomit canapes. Oh, Muffy, bring me another one of those grilled cheese and hummingbird tongue sandwiches. I do love it when they do it in the lady finger form, you know, the little finger sandwiches. Don't bring me one, bring me two. In fact, don't bring it to me at all. Have some Mexican that we're paying $2 an hour and no social security to bring it to me. It's much more enjoyable that way. Damn! Some portion of that 17% voted for that! You know, the Lark's Vomit Canapé crowd, like I said, they're down in the 38% that think everything's just hunky-dory. But the apparently repenting crowd. See, that's the other thing about that 17%. If you called them on and said, you're dissatisfied? You voted. Don't you lie to me. You voted for him. No, I didn't. I voted for John Kerry. In fact, I voted for John Kerry twice. Well, we don't know who they are, and they're never going to admit it. You know, those W the President stickers are coming off the SUVs. They're trying to see if they can scrape up an old John Kerry, just a shred of one to make it look like, we know who you are. So I guess we're on the iceberg. It's too bad about the life, folks. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Linda Luger, Executive Director of United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks for the generous support you provided during the United Way Fall 2004 campaign. Did you know that 99 cents of every dollar donated stays right here in Raleigh, Fayette, Nicholas, and Summers County to help the 20 agencies the United Way supports, including the Red Cross, Girl Scouts, Commission on Aging, Women's Resource Center, Fishes and Loaves, and 15 other nonprofit agencies. Your tax-deductible gift helps the many who are unable to help themselves. Please continue to support the United Way of Southern West Virginia. It's a great investment in our community. If you would like additional information, please contact me at 253-2111. That's the United Way of Southern West Virginia, making a lasting impression on our community.
Around the block, just up your street, where the neighbors you should meet, there are lives we live and dreams we share. We drive your streets and we're all...
It's 800-620-9967. Learn it, know it, use it. Let's go to the phones right now. David's with us. Hey, David, you're head on. David.
Oh, Bob, I heard the big crunch, so I know I'm home.
Here you are.
So a few of these folks that endorsed W got on their knees and praised, you know, praise the Bush Easters and all that sort of stuff, they're beginning to wonder if they've dialed into the right movie, huh?
Well, you know, they're on the merry-go-round, and they just looked over because it's going faster and faster, and they realize that the devil's running it.
Well,
can I get off now?
If they don't like the movie The Return of the Bush, you know, it's hell. They had 4 years of previews. What more do you need?
Yeah, it kind of runs the sympathy factor way down, doesn't it?
Way, 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 way down. And, you know, the lying that man and that administration puts out, and there are so many people that don't want to admit that America in the year 2005 can't act like America in 1965.
Or 1995, David.
Not even 1995, because, Bob, right now there's this horrible awareness that a lot of people are having to admit, and many don't want to admit, and that awareness is that the coming generation will not inherit an America that can make them, allow them, encourage them to be more disgustingly affluent, more unnecessarily rich, more greedy, and have it be viewed as good style. They can't do that again, but George W. Bush, with little things, big things, medium-sized things, he's constantly telling the lie that America can continue to live that deceptive nightmare.
Yeah, and I don't know. Is there hope that people are figuring it out? I mean,
a few are.
There's another way of putting it, though. I mean, you kind of put a flavor in there that you know might be a little bit ashen in some people's mouths. And there's another way to look at it, David, and that is, this is the first generation in America that will not be able to say that to the generation coming after it, we have handed you a better America than the one we were given.
Well, better America and ability to consume, in my mind, are two very different things.
Absolutely.
The better America has already been killed. The Patriot Act did that. George Bush invading a country that by any rational standard had done nothing to us directly, botched it, has killed 100,000 of theirs, soon to be 2,000 of ours, sees no end to it. We have set America back as the America we would like to hand over. You know, how we view things, how we learn things, how we teach our young, all of that's in the process of being ruined. Now, the economics of it, I view that differently, intertwined though they may be. I view that differently. And the other night I heard someone speak, and this is typical of the Bush lie. Oh, if we just go to Anwar, we're going to swell the oil reserve for 1 million barrels a day, and 1 million barrels a day is a meaningless number. It doesn't matter. All it does is change the schedule by maybe 12 to 18 months on when the country implodes upon itself, being oil dependent.
Yeah, that won't even run the soccer mom's SUVs for a day.
Speaking of SUVs, that's typical of what has happened. All of those people that say, "Oh no, well it's our right to drive a car large enough to knock the house I grew up in over." I think that's kind of the dividing line. Do you remember when houses used to cost $19,500 and we were proud to buy them? I know it's a long, long time ago.
That's my parents' house, David.
Thank you. I'm your parents' age, almost. And do you remember when a family of five, a man and a wife and three kids, did fine with three bedrooms, and nobody ever slept in the third one because that was a guest bedroom for folks that might drop by unexpectedly?
Because they could afford the fuel to drive?
But now then, if a kid that's 12 years old doesn't have a wing and a phone, and
a wing,
and a jacuzzi, he's underprivileged. What do you think those McMansions are, Bob? That's where those folks live.
Oh, I know.
We got Bush saying, no. A Lincoln Navigator is a truck. Therefore, we shall not ask it to get more than 15 miles a gallon, so that Cousin Bandar sell us more oil. Oh gosh, I think he left some of that out. I don't think he connected all those dots. But by golly, I will.
Oh my God. You're right. Thank you for putting it. little tears running down my cousin Bandar. Yeah, thank you for putting it in a way. You know, if you can laugh while the vaccination's going in your backside, you're that much better off.
Hey, I tell you what, that prayer rug that cousin Bandar hits five times a day, that one's made out of hundreds. Seem to be euros, though, and I want to touch on that. I heard that same fellow that said, we need to go up there and we need to drill in Anwar, and, oh, no, Europe doesn't matter. We'll make them. We'll show them. We'll demand that they. America is losing because we're not investing in R&D. We're not investing in things that will make money 5 years from now. The only thing we want to do is to buy goods from the cheapest world source, sell them to somebody, artificially inflate a stock value, and then those billionaires that sell shirts at Walmart to the snake handlers, the billionaires make the money, and the snake handlers think they got a bargain. Well, that's not going to hold up forever. Pretty soon, nobody's going to have any money to do that with.
Well, right. I try to point out the fact that the $2, and I don't know what gas is going for where you are, but $2.30 a gallon. Did I just say $2.30 a gallon that I paid for gasoline last night? It's not just because of oil costs. It is because of the purchasing power of the dollar. That's got to play into it somewhere, David, doesn't it? I mean, you're
of course it does. Yeah, and the profit margin of the ever-shrinking number of oil companies.
ExxonMobil, for instance, who declared a higher profit than they have ever had in their entire corporate existence last year.
Well, of course, Bob. They're good Republicans. They're good businessmen. They're only taking advantage of the things presented to them as created by the people they've bought and paid for in the United States Congress. Oh, darn. Did I say something flattering to those fellows?
Did you just engage in corporate speak and refer to people as the things that were presented to them?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, gee willikers. One of the major oil companies in California, what is it? Some California-based oil company.
Yeah, Chevron just gobbled up Unocal.
Unocal, thank you very much. You know who was very close to buying that?
Who?
China Offshore Oil. China Offshore Oil, controlled by the Chinese military. They came within a whisker of buying that oil company based in California.
Well, hell, why not, David? We buy their AK-47s from them. The company that ships AK-47s to the United States is owned by the Chinese military.
So are most of the factories that let us buy those cheap goods at Wally World. And, you know, all of that's based... You can't sell a Chinese-made shirt to a German citizen in Germany. He will look at that and go, no, I will not do that.
Ich möchte das nicht. Yeah.
Oh, easy for you to say.
But the other thing about the Unocal, and I'm glad you mentioned it, you wouldn't off the top of your head be familiar with any former Unocal executives, would you? I mean, just know a name or two?
No, I may recognize it when you say it. Oh, wait a minute. It's coming. Oh, gosh darn it. All right.
Hamid Karzai?
He's all in the family.
Ain't it sweet.
Cousin Karzai.
Yeah, Cousin Hamid.
Exactly.
Praying on another one of them rugs made out of $100 bills. Yeah.
Soon to be woven out of euros, because they'll go where the dough is. And the guy that's got the most money is going to get that resource. People in the Middle East, we taught them to be greedy and self-serving. The only reason they ever roll back any price is for fear of killing golden goose.
Right, and it's also worth mentioning that where the euro is concerned, the fuel that is sold in Europe is highly regulated in price. They pay $6.85 a gallon for it because that's what the government says they're going to pay for it, and the government tells the fuel industry what they're going to sell it to them for. And it stays pretty well in place, and the Europeans have learned to deal with it, and they have shaped their economies and their social structures and their cultures around it, as opposed to, you know, building a Walmart every 20 miles.
And they've also shaped their mileage for their automobiles around it. And please remember, and I see we're coming up to a break.
Yep.
According to the Tennessee clause, but please remember, there is less government subsidy propping up. There is less government money poured back into the oil industries of Europe and here by a wide, 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 wide margin. If you are riding a bicycle in Eugene, Oregon, you pay a significant portion of your tax dollar toward a subsidized gas price for those of us that overconsume. In Europe, you don't do that. They put taxes on gasoline there to subsidize the thing associated with it, whether it be roads, whether it be pollution, whatever it may be.
And if
all of us pay backdoor charges to have $2.50 a gallon gasoline, so that we can stupidly laugh at Europe paying $5 or $6.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if they get sick, they get to go to the doctor, no questions asked, right?
Oh, Bob, that's worth a lifetime of shows.
But this ain't the time. Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for the laugh.
Oh, glad to do it. I'm glad I hit a good one.
I needed that. Later.
Yeah.
All right, break time. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The trial of a Beckley man accused of killing two men and wounding a third in what prosecutors call a drug-related shooting will start May 17th and stay in Raleigh County. Circuit Judge John Hutchinson declined to grant a change of venue for 19-year-old Brandon Watts. Watts allegedly shot 31-year-old Derek Hollinger of Florida, 21-year-old Dwayne Leon Cooper of Virginia, also 30-year-old Darrendell Butler of Florida, during an incident at a Bradley apartment complex in December of 2003. Hollinger and Cooper died. Bond has been denied for a Mercer County man charged with first-degree murder. James Constantino of Athens was arrested Sunday in connection with the shooting death of Pat Broman, also of Athens. Police say Constantino called Mercer County 911 and told them of the shooting on Sunday morning. Constantino is the owner and broker of Century 21, Four Seasons Properties in Princeton, and also was a physical education teacher from 1971 through 2001. His attorney says Constantino has been undergoing therapy for mental health issues since September of 2003. Circuit Judge Derek Swope ordered Constantino to undergo a psychiatric evaluation before bond was set. Constantino is being held in the Southern Regional Jail. Tentative settlement has been reached in a lawsuit by former credit card customers of Elder Bierman and Stone and Thomas. The people claim they were harassed by collection agencies, and Kanawha County Circuit Judge Irene Berger has given preliminary approval to the settlement and scheduled a final hearing for May 31st. The legislature has once again shot down a proposal to allow hunting on Sunday. Fayette County Senator Shirley Love tried to add an amendment allowing hunting on Sunday in public forests to a House bill that would outlaw hunting over the Internet. But Love's amendment was rejected by Senate Natural Resources Chairman John Pat Fanning. The county-by-county referendum on whether to allow Sunday hunting on private land was soundly defeated in most parts of the state just a few years ago. That's the news. Now here's the spring-like forecast for the rest of this evening. Mostly sunny and mild tonight, clear with a low 50. And then for Wednesday, sunny in the morning, becoming partly cloudy in the afternoon. Still warm tomorrow, high near 75. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
If you're confused at all on the question of who Washington serves, look no further for clarity than the recent enactment of a bankruptcy reform law. Ask yourself this: were you the one clamoring for bankruptcy reform? No, the vast majority of us had no idea this was even in the works, much less that we were about to get schnookered by our president and Congress. This bill was the wet dream of Visa, MasterCard, MBNA, Citigroup, and other giant hawkers of credit cards. Having filled the mailboxes of every American with false offers of free credit, these bankers are now alarmed that so many folks have fallen behind on payments and are having to declare bankruptcy to get a fresh start. Rather than accepting responsibility for their own bad business practices, the banks went wailing to Washington, demanding that the people be banned from bankruptcy protection. "Make these bums pay us," was the ugly chant of the banker lobbyists. Never mind that half of the people who fall into bankruptcy do so because they're suddenly hit with unexpected and uninsured medical bills, and another 40% because of job loss, family death, divorce, or disability. Instead of siding with these poor folks, Washington has sided with the poor credit card industry, an industry that raked in only $30 billion in profits last year, and also put up millions in campaign donations to both political parties. One measure of how completely Washington kowtowed to the bankers was seen in an amendment to exempt debtors from losing their full bankruptcy protections if their financial troubles are caused by ID theft. This can happen when thieves get hold of your credit card numbers, sometimes from the banks themselves, and milk you dry. The bankers killed this amendment, meaning that they can be responsible for your having to file bankruptcy, yet they can prevent you from getting free of the debt they caused. This is Jim Hightower saying, this law is a shameful piece of special interest sleaze, and it shows who really owns Washington.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library. So make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Actually, that's in a jar. Don't know how it came out that way. It's not on the jar, it's in the jar. Formaldehyde, even. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Cruising toward 9 o'clock. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. David mentioned a couple of things that just sort of got the wheels turning a little bit. You know, you can tell from the smoke coming out of my ears. When I was a kid, and, you know, I'm in my early 40s. You know, I'm a child of what? The child of Aquarius or whatever that gobbledygook is. But, you know, our first TV was black and white. No, you were underprivileged. Yes, it was. And you know what the remote control looked like? It looked like me at about 6 years old. Boy, go up and put it on four. No, I got my exercise. But I remember the cheap and cheesy little local advertising campaigns, and a couple of them just stick in your brain. One of them, I can't even remember what the business was, but it was... The tagline at the end of the commercial was, "Thanks, and we do appreciate your business." And the other one was for, folks listening down home will remember. The other one was for B.M. Ingram, and they sold lawnmowers and so forth. Don't even know if they still exist. But this fellow with a shaven head would come on at the end. He'd say, "And we'll deal with you on easy terms." Now, this is back in the day of, you know, what, 3-4 channels. And one of those was just a camera panning back and forth across a thermometer, a barometer. clock. There were times when it was the best TV going, too. But I mentioned those two taglines. Thanks. We do appreciate your business. David mentioning Uncle Bandar. He with the rug of woven freshly minted $100 bills. I can see him checking his account balance on his computer every day, and watching there are websites you can go to and watch the national debt mount, and it's just this bing 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 bing, bing, you know, constantly upward tallying number. Well, Uncle Bandar has one of those too, only it's money that he's getting, and the royal house of Ibn Saud. And I can just see him smirking with that one of Fidel's finest Cohiba or Romeo y Julieta Coronas tucked in his jaw thing. Thanks! We do appreciate your business. And Lord, don't they. And George, you remember when George on the campaign trail said, I'll use my connections with the Saudis to have them give us lower price gasoline. Remember that? You can just see him picking up the phone, and you can hear Uncle Bandar saying, we'll deal with you on easy terms. Sure you can. Oh, these things that stick in my head. And I know that Bandar loves a cigar because I've seen footage of him smoking them, and you know Bandar Bush don't smoke no Dutch Masters. I mean, you know that's the good stuff that came over from Cuba in the diplomatic pouch. And I think about reading stories about Cuba and how they, there's nothing newer than a 1959 Ford Chevy or Chrysler in Havana. I mean, there might be some of those old, what were they, Ladas, Yadas, Wadas, the Soviet McCar. But those cars are still running today, those 59 Chevys, those 59 Fords, those 59 Chryslers. A lot of them have been modified, however, to run on kerosene, vegetable oil, lighter fluid, homemade rum, because of our little embargo and the fact that Cuba can only buy what Cuba can afford. And it is certainly a far cry from a worker's paradise. However, they do have a lower infant mortality rate than us. They have a lower maternal mortality rate for women dying in childbirth than us. They have a universal health care. They have a higher literacy rate than us. They just can't drive all over creation. And what we did to them starting in, what, 1962? And the hard, hard lessons they have learned in the 43 years since, guess what? Going to be our turn soon. And we'll learn not to drive all over the place. And maybe by not driving all over the place, maybe we'll stop suffering quite so much of this cultural attention deficit disorder. You know, where we, look, a squirrel. That. I don't know. But it's going to, big darkness soon come. And it's going to be mighty dark, but maybe there's an opportunity, maybe for some learning. Maybe. If we get somebody with some political will in the White House and in Congress who cares enough about America, really cares about America. No more of this bug spray about, I believe in America and we need a flag desiccating, burning amendment and some more prayer in the schools, and instead of saying under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, we need to say under God six times in the Pledge of Allegiance, and that's patriotism. No. Real patriotism, real love of country that cares not just about the America of right now and has a passion for America's history of back then, but most importantly cares about the America of 20 years from now, 40 years from now, dare I think 100 years from now. because what we're getting ready to go through is the penance for not thinking about America 100 years from now, 50 years ago. The interstate highways are marvels of their sort, but we would be well to remember that they are the National Military Defense Highway System. They are not the National Drive to Walmart Highway System. But we have facilitated our own demise in the way that we have structured our societies, in the fact that we've created an America that is 20 miles from everything, an America that has eaten up some of our best farmland to put McMansions on. Worth thinking about? You tell me. But we did talk a little bit about dear leader's visit to Parkersburg today, and it would be unfair of me not to mention this to you. To wit, did you notice who wasn't there? If you followed any of the news about it, did you notice who wasn't there today? Not who was there. There were plenty of mouth breathers and knuckle draggers there. But who wasn't there today? It's a short list, at least the list I'm talking about. It's a one-person list. Who wasn't there today? Who shows up every opportunity she gets and puckers up and gives Georgie a big old smooch right on his boots? Come on. Who has taken more of Tom DeLay's filthy corporate PAC money than any other member of Congress save one? Who, when given the opportunity, voted against extending full military health care benefits to National Guard and reservists? That's right. Shelley Moore, missing in action today. Shelley Moore, who, she's got her thumb on the pulse, too, and she understands that George Bush is developing an ugly, ugly, ugly case of terminal galloping political pneumonia. So Shelley Moore wasn't there. She put out a bit of a press release, Shelley did, and her staff said Shelley won't be able to make it because she has a previously scheduled meeting to discuss medical malpractice suit abuse with West Virginia doctors visiting in Washington. Really? How about that? Sort of left George out there flapping in the breeze, didn't she? Not so interested in those coattails now that she doesn't have the liberals going to get your Bibles flying around West Virginia, and she doesn't have the, you know, queers getting married are going to destroy your religion mouth breathers working for her. Not so interested anymore. Now, here's the fun part. This was her... because, you see, she won't vote for this Social Security boondoggle, the bamboozle-palooza, unless she has the political cover to do so. And so this is the way she has explained not coattailing George yet. You know, if he provides her the political cover, she'll do it. You know, just like she said, I'm not real sure how I feel about cutting Medicaid, and then, you know, at one hard look from Tom DeLay, yay! I vote yay! You see, Tom, I'm voting yay. We're cutting Medicaid by $15 billion. You see, Tom, I'm voting yay. I need more money. I won't run against Byrd. Yay! Can I vote twice yay? Does that mean we're cutting to $30 billion? So this is, I'm not real sure about cutting this Medicaid. Yay! So here's her quote on the bamboozle-palooza of Social Security. I'm glad I'm under... This is a quote from my mouth to God's ear. I'm glad I'm undecided. I don't want to react to something that's never going to come down the pike. Man, is she brilliant? Hear that again. God, what I wouldn't give for the audio of that. I'm glad I'm undecided. I don't want to react to something that's never going to come down the pike. Is she admitting that George Bush's Social Security plan is DOA? Or is that wishful thinking? Or is that her telegraphing to the mouth-breathing faithful that, well, she hasn't gotten her marching instructions quite yet from Tom DeLay because he's been busy out threatening judges? Oh, they'd be funny if they weren't so damn dangerous, these Republicans. Let's go to the phones. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff, your head on.
Hey, how you doing? Here's one of these dangerous Republicans, Bob.
All right.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Hey, you're dangerous enough. You voted for that clown.
Yes, I did, and you'll never
and
see me tonight.
And you're still proud of it.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you what, next time I call, I'm going to have a 1997 tax booklet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have a 2004 booklet,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to show you the difference in the taxation under Clinton and Bush,
mm-hmm.
but the same, you know, you guys are crying a river. I mean, I've went through a whole box of Kleenexes listening about this gas price, but you guys didn't say a word when it was Clinton taxing us three times as much and us getting nothing for it.
Wait a minute.
I don't get nothing for it. I don't care.
Is this the dropping acid portion of the program, Jeff? Is this where you tell
I've
me...
I've been listening to that for an hour.
Is this where you tell me that gas was $2.30 a gallon under Clinton?
The tax that we paid under Clinton was way more than what we're putting in gas now, especially since you're just driving one way. You're not using a whole lot anymore.
What do you mean, just driving one way?
You're just driving...
What, I walk home at night?
Back.
No, I'm driving both ways, Jeff. I'm not thumbing home at the end of the day.
You're just driving one place a day, like I'm trying to do, like we're all trying to do. But, you know, here it's $6.85 a gallon in Europe.
Yep.
Is that good or bad?
For them, it's good because they've been doing it for years and years, and they're used to it.
Well, would it be good for us?
And it actually pays for things that they need.
Would it be good for us?
In the long run, probably, because we would have to modify our behavior.
Well, then how can you possibly cry about $2.29 a gallon and say $6.85 is great?
Because, Jeff, their $6.85, the taxation on that, provides them things that they need, as I mentioned to you just a moment ago. Secondly, it is a function of a highly regulated petroleum industry as opposed to the highly subsidized one that we have here.
What's it bring, like their health care and stuff?
It pays for their roads. It subsidizes. A European that I know was telling me that probably 60-70% of what they pay for fuel is pure tax.
That's great, huh?
To the extent that they have things that we don't, yeah, it is.
Like their health care?
Sure, like their health, like their health care, like their unemployment programs, like their programs for, young people, their pension plans.
You can go to www.high-mag.com and look up health insurance articles, and the headline on one of them is Rising Costs and Cross-Border Medical Treatment Have led to some to suggest that European healthcare provision will move towards the American model private provision.
Yeah, because we don't have a monopoly, Jeff, on loony right wing freaks. They've got their own over there as well. They've just about screwed up the British healthcare service, as our friend Stephen has written in on a number of occasions, to the point. And they've got their own Bush style privatizers over there who think that the healthcare should be a for profit industry.
But if it was so great, the people wouldn't be going for it and crying for it.
Well, they're not going for it. That's the thing. It's still a minority of mouth breathing weirdos over there.
In the United Kingdom, they're increasing their healthcare spending, £105.6 billion a year, every year, about till 2008. The tax implications running into the future are enormous.
Okay, thank you for reading to me, Jeff. But the point is there, still, people can go to the doctor when they're sick, okay?
But if you tax your country out of existence, what's the point?
Okay, so after, 2066, yeah, that'll be 1,000 years. They're taxing Britain out of existence. Is that what you're telling me?
2008.
No, 2066 is 1,000 years of the British Empire.
Yeah, but
they have not managed to tax themselves out of existence yet, Jeff.
They're just about it. They used to be all over the world, and now they've been run back to plumb one little corner.
No, they didn't get run back to plumb one little corner, Jeff. It was called a freedom movement. you do recall that they gave the Raj freedom, Pakistan and India, without full scale war.
In the
Canada, they're part of the Commonwealth, but they're their own country. Australia the same way.
And they pay that big deductibles. It's not like it's free in Canada. Every family in Canada.
So what are you telling? Are you actually trying to present the thesis, Jeff, that there is nothing wrong with America's healthcare system, that it's just hunky dory the way it is?
It's better than what they have.
Okie dokie. It's better than what they have. Great.
In Canada, if you're a family of
four, so one of these 76,000 people or whatever it is that gets kicked off of the rolls of Medicaid because they're an optional cover here in West Virginia. I'll see if I can find one of them. I'll see if I can find one of them, Jeff, and you can tell them that this system where they get kicked off the rolls is better than the system where they don't. We got to take our top of the hour break. Thanks, Jeff. Later. God. That's just stunningly ignorant. No health care is better than health care. That's a kind of math I can't even do with my shoes off. Gee whiz. Let's take our top of the hour break. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother Justin,
hello,
hi,
are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. I voted for George Bush, and I'll always be proud of it, crowd members. I got something for you. Go to truthout.org. There is a Pulitzer, the Pulitzers are out. There is a Pulitzer Prize-winning photograph there at truthout.org. At least it was before I went on the air this evening. And it's one of those, God, I'm glad I voted for George Bush photos. You people that are proud you voted for George Bush, I want you to look at this one. Because you did it. It's your handiwork. You can't see the grown-ups in the picture. All you see are some legs. The picture itself is of a very crudely, roughly hewn, open wooden box. Inside the box is a little boy. And you know what? He looks a lot like a little American boy. You can see the bruises on his little legs sticking out of his short pants. He's got those little kid kind of sandals that probably have the Velcro across, so they'll stay on his little feet. And he's got some dark-colored short pants on. And he's got a striped, multi-patterned kind of shirt on him. And his head's back in repose and tilted to one side. And in many ways, well, he kind of, except for the dark hair, he looks like, well, if you've got kids, you know how when they play hard, and they run hard, and they laugh, and the very laughter itself is the definition of joy. And then they climb up on the couch, or they go to their room, and one minute they're awake and chattering at you, and the next, sound asleep. Absolute peace. That little machine that was nothing but a bundle of energy just moments ago, down, sound asleep. That's what this little fella looks like. Except he's dead. Except he's dead. How did he get dead, this little fella? And the caption, I didn't print the caption. I don't have the little fella's name, and I apologize for that. The little dead fella. The little dead 18-month-old fella who was in an excursion with his family in a car when American troops opened fire on it and made the little fella get all dead. All dead. Oopsie. Darn. Must have been insurgents. No, sorry. They were a family. They were probably a family that didn't speak English, so they didn't hear when they yelled, "Stop!" Or, I don't know, maybe it was like the Italian journalist's car, and they opened fire on them from behind. So, you people who are so proud of voting for George Bush, go have a look at this photograph. See if you still feel. Of course you'll still feel proud. That's just a dead Iraqi baby. It's not a good, God-fearing, upstanding, decent American baby. Well, you know, nits make lice, Bob. Are you proud of this, too, Bush voter? Are you proud of the ceaseless wails of a mother in the night, bereft of the flesh of her flesh and the fruit of her loins? Are you proud, Bush voter, of a father who raises his hands to the sky and keens and screams and begs for mercy from God Almighty because it damn sure doesn't come from the American occupiers? Are you proud, Bush voter? Look at this little fella and tell me how proud you are. Bush voters, killers, thugs, murderers, slayer of little children. Car bomb didn't kill this child. Insurgents didn't kill this child. You killed this child. Because our military has been put into such a hellish position that it doesn't know who is good and who is bad. It only knows that it's kill or be killed. And if a few 18-month-old little Iraqi babies in striped shirts and short pants and little sandals get blown away for the greater glory of George Almighty, well, that's just fine. And you know what? We pay cash for this kind of stuff. We give them a couple of $100 and say, "Get out of my face, Haji. Here's your money. Too bad about your kid." Aren't you proud, Bush voter? Aren't you proud? Tell me, Bush voter, in the dark and still of the night, do you ever hear their screams? Of course not. Phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Kyle's with us. Hey, Kyle, you head on.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
And I'm coming through clear?
So far, so good.
Okay. So I'm a baby killer now?
Did you vote for him?
Yeah.
You're a baby killer.
Okay. And let's see. And what was it you said? The problem was they don't know the enemy?
Yeah.
What is this a repeat of?
Vietnam.
Okay. And who started that war?
The first troops were sent there by Dwight D. Eisenhower, Kyle. You there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Who continued that war?
Democrats and Republicans.
Okay. So it's not a Democrat-Republican thing, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, I'm going to explain that to you.
Well, the Vietnamese War was dead wrong. Okay. And in my ethical estimation, in my moral estimation, Kyle, the people who said we needed to stay there until we had them subdued, until we'd killed another million Vietnamese civilians, they were complicit as well.
I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that.
I'm absolutely consistent on this. The people who didn't object when Richard Nixon illegally carpet bombed Laos and Cambodia were complicit in the killing.
And so, our first oil embargo that we suffered through, who was president, man?
1973. That would be Richard M. Nixon.
Okay. And now the Republican.
Yes.
And so we're in it for what now? What are we in it for?
In what?
I mean, this situation with our oil situation right now. Why are we there? Because of George Bush?
He's the one that made the decision. I mean, you know, every other president has kind of adhered to what Harry Truman said about the buck stops here. George Bush won't play that game.
And
he takes no responsibility.
Where does OPEC figure into this picture?
Well, OPEC is who owns the oil.
And who would that be?
The Saudis, the Iranians, Qatar, Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, Libya, Venezuela.
Okay. Now, when was the last time a new refinery was built within the boundaries of the United States?
About 20 years ago, I think.
Okay. So that would have been under whose watch?
20 years ago, that would be Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay. Are you sure about that?
2005 minus 20 is 1985.
Okay. So now, again, this all goes back on the Republicans, right?
No, but this little dead boy does.
And all the
little dead children in Iraq do.
No,
and frankly, for any and lest there be any question out there, it also has to do with the people in Congress who authorized him to commit this slaughter. Now he would have committed it one way or the other, but if you voted in favor of it, you're equally wrong, and that includes John Kerry. It doesn't include decent people like Nick Rahal, and it doesn't include decent people like Robert Byrd. It doesn't include decent people like, unless I'm mistaken, Jay Rockefeller. It does include people like Shelley Moore.
And Shelley Moore wasn't there yesterday for what reason?
Because yeah, because she's a coward.
No, the reason was she had a previous commitment. Is that not correct?
With medical malpractice suit abuse discussions with West Virginia doctors visiting Washington.
But she was...
Now, bear in mind, this visit has been planned for quite some time.
Well, of course it was.
So, you know, what it boils down to is Shelley was... Shelley doesn't want that. Now, face it, Kyle. Shelley Moore doesn't want to be anywhere near this Social Security boondoggle right now because she's trying to figure out whether or not she wants to run against Bob Byrd.
See, Bob, you know something that Rush Limbaugh has on his program that I think should be required of every talk show host in America, including all three of you on this radio station, is?
What?
You know what he does when he doesn't quote people? He plays it so you can hear it coming from their mouth.
Well, you know, like I said, I would love to have that soundbite from
him. I'm sure you would.
I'm glad. I mean, listen to it, Kyle. It's just precious. I'm glad I'm undecided. I don't want to react to something that's never going to come down the pike. That is some political courage right there, Kyle. Political courage, Republican style. She doesn't, you know, and you know, she, and that's the same thing she said about, like I said, it's the same thing she said about the $15 billion Medicaid cut. I don't know about this. And she voted for it. She voted to cut $156 million out of West Virginia's Medicaid budget. 70-some-odd thousand people, I believe it is, being kicked off the welfare rolls thanks to Shelley Moore's vote. You know, with friends like that, we don't need enemies.
Bob, last hour, Jeff was reading to you from the Internet, and you said, thanks for reading to me, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And made fun of him for doing so. And yet you do the same thing and back it up as fact.
Yeah. This is fact. These are the unaltered words of Shelley Moore. It's not some opinion piece. No, this is her. These are her words.
Excuse me. Bob, Jeff was not giving you an opinion piece. He was reading you fact that he had read on the internet, and you made fun of him for reading to you.
No, it was about the content, okay, Kyle? But, you know, again, make your...
Because
make,
the content
make,
doesn't support your argument.
No, because the content is opinion, Kyle. Okay, when I tell you it's opinion, it's opinion. He was reading opinion as fact. And there is a vast difference between those two things. Now,
you're reading something Shelley Moore may have said.
Not may have said, said. Said. She said it, okay?
Have we heard it?
No. Wait a minute, Kyle. So if you haven't heard it said, you can't be sure it got said, correct?
Don't believe everything you read in the newspaper.
Okay, if it... No. That's not what you said. If you haven't heard it said, because you want me to have to play the sound bites, if you haven't heard it said, it didn't get said, right?
No, my point is, don't make fun for Jeff.
Now, see, you're playing all Shelley Moore, Kyle, and you're kind of waffling away from it. You said I need to play the quote, okay? You said I need to play the quote.
No, I said you need to play the actual... I want to hear the voice itself.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We could use the help, I'm sure, with about probably $5,000 worth of technology and a few hours of work from a few extra people here. We can do that every day. It's one of the things I look forward to doing, and if you want to lead the charge on the money raising, that'd be cool.
But that's not my point. My point is you made fun of Jeff last hour.
Because Jeff was being ignorant, Kyle.
Because he was being ignorant because he doesn't support your argument.
No, he was being ignorant because he sat there and said, Kyle, that people without health care are better off than people who have it. My God in heaven.
And under
your theory, if I can't play the soundbite, it didn't necessarily get said.
My theory.
Heavens to Betsy, Jesus gets quoted in your church every Sunday and you take it for literally gospel.
Here we go again, Bob. You're going to attack the Southern Baptist again, right?
No. They do a good enough job all by themselves, Kyle.
Yet you will support the Muslim belief and what they believe in these people.
I support everybody's right to believe anything they want to. You know, you want to eat a cracker and think it turns into Jesus meat, that's fine.
You
want to believe that there's a spirit in the trees, that's fine, too. You can believe anything you want to. It's like I said to an emailer. It's whatever gets you through the night.
You sit there behind that microphone and call the Southern Baptist a cult.
It is a cult.
It's
pure
it's
and simple. It's a cult.
It is
largely a cult of personality.
Bob.
Look at the personality at the front of it. You know, Jerry Falwell. My God.
But you sit there behind that microphone every night and call the Southern Baptist cult.
And you know what? I have a right to do that because I was raised Southern Baptist, Kyle, and I can complain about the wrong road that church that I was raised in is following.
And, Bob, I can introduce you to a gentleman that's the pastor of my church that was raised in the Jehovah's Witness belief that will tell you that is an occult.
Well, good. But
his name is Paul Blizzard.
I tell you what. One of these nights, real soon, I'll get you the clinical definition of a cult, I'll prove it to you. But you know, it's neither here nor there. I don't care what church people want to go to. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't have anything to do with me.
That's not my point. My point is, Bob, that you will defend a Muslim belief where a woman must hide her face in public. Where children...
No, I don't defend that. I think that's ignorant. But it's also not much. Kyle, see, you're mixing your culture and your religion here. The hiding the face business and most of this stuff that poorly ill-informed Americans think is Islam is not Islam. Most Americans think Islam is Arabic. Most people who are Muslim aren't Arabs. A lot of this stuff is cultural. It is not religious.
Have you seen women in Beckley doing the same thing?
Doing what?
Right, in town with a veil on their face.
I don't know that I've seen them in Beckley. I think I've seen them in Charleston. What's the point?
I know. I've seen them in Beckley.
Okay. Does that make them bad?
No, it does not. that you put down the Southern Baptist for coming up with a policy. That's the wrong term, but for a better term, I'll put it that way.
Dogma.
That says a woman should be committed to and support and love her husband.
Right, because I'm a member. I am still a member of that church, and I think that that kind of ignorant, backward, 300-year-old misogynistic tradition is not something that needs to be a part of the American social fabric. What some Muslim wants to do in Kuala Lumpur, you know, I might think it's ignorant, but it's also not America, and it's not right here in West Virginia. Kyle, we got to take our break. Take care. Good to hear from you.
Good night, Bob.
Later. Still didn't get an answer. Are you proud of the little dead 18-month-old boy that by supporting George Bush, you killed? Your vote, your actions have consequences. At least that's what the good, upstanding, God-fearing Republicans tell me. You've got to take personal responsibility. And when you voted for George Bush, you're personally responsible for that little dead 18-month-old baby. But the crying mommy doesn't matter. And the wailing father doesn't matter. Of course they don't matter. They died too. Aren't you proud? This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Mercer County teacher has been charged with 4 counts of third-degree sexual assault and 4 counts of sexual abuse by a parent, guardian, or custodian. Timothy Colbert, a teacher at Spanishburg School, was arraigned on the charges Friday and released on $20,000 bond. The alleged offenses took place at the school during the 1998-99 term and involved a 14-year-old student. The investigation started in March when the former student notified state police. Mercer County School Superintendent Dr. Deborah Akers says Colbert had been relieved of all classroom duties effective immediately. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for April 19th. Traffic stop on the turnpike has led to the arrest of 6 people on drug charges. Early Saturday morning, state police stopped a car at mile marker 52, found marijuana and crack cocaine. 3 people in the car were released or rather arrested and charged with possession of a controlled substance and conspiracy to sell cocaine. The arrests led to the search of a Beckley residence where 3 additional people were arrested and charged with possession and conspiracy. City officials have released preliminary results of a study on parking in the uptown section, and Mayor Pugh says the study shows there is a deficit of parking spots near the courthouse on weekdays between 10 a.m. and noon. It suggests about 160 parking spots within 200 to 300 feet of the courthouse and the United Bank building. The study shows that there are 3,277 total parking spaces in Uptown Beckley, and of those, 305 are on street spaces, the remainder are off-street. The public has access to about 1,000 of those spaces by lease, meter, or free. Trial of a Beckley man accused of killing 2 men and wounding a third in what prosecutors call a drug-related shooting is set to begin May 17th. It will stay in Raleigh County. Circuit Judge John Hutchinson declined to grant a change of venue for 19-year-old Brandon Watts. That's the news. Now here's the spring light forecast. Looking good. Sunny this evening, tonight clear, low 50. And then tomorrow, sunny in the morning, becoming partly cloudy by afternoon. Tomorrow's high again, mid-70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hey, are you looking for the best in wireless service? Then take a fresh look at Cellular One. Cellular One's advanced network delivers unsurpassed call quality and reliability in more places than any other wireless company in the region. That's right. More places in southern West Virginia, more places in southwestern Virginia, more places across the nation. Why, in the past year alone, the coverage leader has added 25% more sites. So when we say we're here for you, we really mean it. And Cellular One gives you more choices in rate plans and features. and in phones. From flip phones to camera phones, all at great deals. Add in our dependable local customer service, and it's no wonder Cellular One was voted the favorite place to buy cellular phones by readers of the Beckley Register Herald. So if you're looking for wireless, look to the one that gives you more of what you want, where you want it. Cellular One, we're here for you. For a limited time, get a Motorola V180 color screen flip phone for only $19.99 after rebate. Bring your current number to Cellular One and get a free phone and free activation.
It's time for the Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night. It happens Saturday, April 9th, starting at 6:30 at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center. Come join us for a night of games, food, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50 per person. For tickets, just call 763-4720. 763-4720. All proceeds donated to Raleigh County Commission on Aging Adult Daycare Facility. Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night, Saturday, April 9th at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center.
WWNR Beckley.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantillo, and I am your fresh grocer. And today we're going to talk about red leaf lettuce. You know, red leaf lettuce always takes a backseat with all the other salad lettuces that are out there. But the red leaf lettuce has such wonderful properties to it to add to so many different salads. Why? It's got a chicory flavor to it at the very end. It's a subtle chicory flavor, but it's there. The color is beautiful because the beautiful red from the green that comes out on a beautiful head of red leaf lettuce. But when you buy them, you want to make sure that that red is a dark red, almost a purple, all the way around on the very top. Check the green on the bottom. It has to be nice and green, free from any yellow. And where it's been cut, you want to make sure that's the very bottom where it gets cut from the plant. Store them in the refrigerator right away. Mix it with the other salad, the greens, make a wonderful salad. And I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer. Eat fresh, stay healthy. Hello, I'm Tony Tantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
What's the difference between a remodeler and a home improvement contractor? Are they both the exact same thing?
Hi, I'm James.
I'm Maura.
And we're the Carey Brothers with the On the House Tip of the Day.
Today you'll learn how to play Who Does What for Homes right after this.
What's the best way to build a new deck or replace an old one? Deckmaster, the hidden deck fastening system that holds your deck in place from below the deck board.
With Deckmaster, there are no streaks or stains, no hammer dents or nasty pop-up nails to cut little feet. Ouch!
Deckmaster helps extend deck life by preventing wood rot caused by water that seeps in through holes created by nails and screws.
And Deckmaster is guaranteed for 25 years.
Don't even think about building or replacing any deck without Deckmaster. Visit Deckmaster at Deckmaster.com for a dealer near you.
Jeopardy! Debuted on TV this day in 1964. And over 40 years later, it still reigns as the most intellectual game show, with extremely tough questions that require answers in the form of a question. While it is a bit confusing, so is the housing industry, which also often raises tough questions, like exactly who does what for homes, such as what's the difference between a remodeler and a home improvement contractor? Answer, a remodeler is a home improvement contractor because he improves homes. But a home improvement contractor is not a remodeler because they generally specialize and offer only a narrow range of trades like roofing or gutters and siding. Now, let's play Housing Jeopardy. Ready? Question. They do project planning and supervision. Answer. What is a remodeler? Question. They provide a specific home service. Answer. What is a home improvement contractor? Okay. Now you know who does what for homes. Thanks for playing. For more tips, visit our website at onthehouse.com.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. About 28 minutes before 10 o'clock, 28 minutes to get those final thoughts in. Look, I was raised in an enlightened, self-reliant, personally responsible tradition. It's part of the reason I despise the religion debate. My relationship with my Creator is my own. Everyone else's is their own. For my purposes, for my life and my family's. Let's get this straight. I don't need a priest, a preacher, a monk, a minister, a friar, a friend, a patriarch, an oligarch, an imam, an ayatollah, a shaman, a yogi, or a Dalai blessed lama to decide whether or not I'm in good stead with the Creator. It's personal. Now, on the other hand, when the church into which I was baptized, once I had passed the age of accountability, as it is so called, the Southern Baptist Church wholeheartedly endorsed the slaughter of 100,000 innocent Iraqis. And when I see that, I have to oppose it. It's evil per se. It's devil stuff, deliberately killing innocents. And like I said, the church in which I was baptized endorsed it. Bring on some more blood for Jesus. Yay, and pass the plate. If I understand the teachings of Yeshua the carpenter correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, it's not only my right, it's my duty to call evil, evil when I see it. I don't care if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, and hauling out, oh my goodness, Pastor so-and-so used to be a Jehovah's Witness, and he can tell you about cults. You know, there's a difference between me criticizing the mistaken policies of a faith and criticizing the people who participate in it. On the other hand, if you act like a mouth breather, snake handler, whatever, so be it. But more than anything else, those are euphemisms. Would I be better off just to refer to the murderers of the Southern Baptist Church? The pro-life crowd that endorses killing 100,000 civilians? Because Jesus, and this was their basis, I read it. They put it out for public consumption. The Iraq War is okay, Mr. Bush, because Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Didn't know what was around. I thought he was holding a coin, not a pint of blood, when he said that. So, I'm kind of... Look, you believe what you want to believe, I'll believe what I want to believe, okay? But that does not limit me from criticizing abject immorality and evil. And endorsing the slaughter of 18-month-old babies is evil. And a church that endorses the slaughter of 18-month-old babies is dead. Because you can't fit it into what would Jesus do? Who would Jesus bomb? What kind of gun would Jesus pack? Sickening. Back to the phones real quick. David had a quick comment. Hey, David, you head on. Yo, David.
Wow, Bob, you're right on the money. I had a few thoughts, and they pale in comparison to what you're talking about. But, I'm gonna put them up anyway. You wanted an answer to a question. You wanted an answer. Is George Bush responsible for that little boy?
Yeah.
Well, Bob, you've spoken about education and background as a proud product of the Tennessee public school system. I was taught to sound out my words before I spelled them and diagram my sentences before I wrote them and read the newspaper before I said a whole lot. So, all of those wonderful mechanisms don't help me. I heard someone say in answer to your question, are you happy about George Bush killing that little boy? The answer came back, the Democrats didn't build enough oil refineries.
Yeah.
I can't quite follow that one. help me get through the maze, would you? I'm sorry. I tried to sound out the words, and I tried to diagram the sentence, and, I read the newspaper every blessed day, and I'm sorry. I couldn't get there.
Jimmy Buffett has a line, David, where he says it was kind of like doing the boogaloo. It plumb evaded me.
Well, okay, good. There's more than one of us.
Yeah.
That went right by me.
And, there's always the who started Vietnam. That was Eisenhower. The first troops went in, a Democrat. You know, look, we can be stupid. You know, LBJ was just damn dumb about Vietnam, and he was seduced by a bunch of bloodthirsty, warmongering generals. We know that now. And Richard Nixon gets elected in 1968 on the I will get us out of Vietnam.
And he had a secret plan.
Yeah.
I remember this vividly. Those of us that voted for Senator Humphrey were appalled that America voted for a secret plan that was so cool. It was so much the bee's knees that Milhouse couldn't tell us about it because it would spoil the party after he got elected.
Well, David, if I told you about it, that communist Humphrey would steal it from me.
I've just got to go forward with this. Let me say this about me. I am not a criminal. Oh, it is so appalling that we're buying it all over again. We're swallowing and we're smiling.
You know, bear in mind, there are Republicans out there. I mean, you know, Ann Coulter is still alive. And if I said, Ann Coulter, are you proud you killed that little boy? Damn straight. You know, I despise that woman, but she's at least straight up enough to say, I love killing little Iraqis, and I wish George Bush would kill a few more.
I think she would say exactly those words. I think she's capable of that. And she would smile and she would laugh it off and she would order an extra glass of Chablis for all those around her when she went to the restaurant with her circle of friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not the only one, David. Yeah, and again, you know, all I wanted to know is, hey, you know, if you voted for Bush, are you proud that you put that little boy in the box?
And there was never, ever a response. Well, there was lots of words, but I didn't consider any of it a response. I couldn't follow it. I couldn't get to an end game point where I felt like, all right.
Well, David,
someone made a point, and I see it. I don't agree with it, but I understand he made a point.
But David, that's because you're a liberal and you don't love America.
I am a liberal, but I do love America.
I know. I'm just.
You know what? I think in all that list of folks that you don't need to read the Bible, interpret the Bible, study the Bible, know the Bible, I can put one person on that list that you wouldn't turn down.
Okay.
A little lady with the blue hair that made a great plate of fudge.
Amen to that.
You would not turn her down.
No, because, you know, when she looked at me and she said, Bobby, don't kill people. You know, there was no equivocating on that, David.
It didn't have modifiers. It didn't have qualifiers. There were no adjectives. There was no quibble.
No semicolons, no dependent clauses, no don't kill them unless they're brown, don't kill them unless their leader was a really bad man, don't kill them unless you need to establish the regional hegemony for the oil's sake. You know, just don't kill people.
And she meant it.
Yeah, she did.
And she still means it.
And she is sitting, and I assume she has gone to her long home, and I have no doubt that what she is sitting at the right hand of God, even as we speak, going, I taught that one well.
She's tugging on a seamless garment, saying, what are they thinking about? Will they ever get over this?
I always said he was good. You know, he never missed a day of Sunday school. He came prepared for the lessons. He got it.
Good for you. I always flunked the pop quiz that the assistant choir leader always gave us in Sunday school, so you're way ahead of me.
Or behind. I don't know. There's days that I work really hard to get over some of the other stuff.
Oh, do take care, Bob, and welcome another caller.
Thank you, David. Later. Yeah. Hey, Wayne, you're head on, man. Wayne.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Oh, man.
I'm picked up. I'm uplifted again.
David made me laugh. That was funny. I mean, the Democrats didn't build enough oil refineries. It's almost criminal what you do to some of these callers, man. But you know, I can't help that. They're way out of their weight class.
Body blow. Lift to the head.
And they come back for more. I guess that's good.
Admirable. I mean, I like Kyle. We're buddies. But, you know, I just wanted the answer to a question.
Exactly. I mean, it wasn't just Kyle either.
No, but, I mean, have you seen this picture?
No, I went there, and I mean, I see somebody on an overturned vehicle. There were only three pictures. You must have to clip onto a certain story.
They rotate through. I guess it's gone by now. It was a Pulitzer Prize winner, and it's just, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It's in black and white, and I'm damn near tears.
I saw the picture of the little girl standing outside the car covered with blood when they just murdered her family. I've seen enough.
But that's the thing. I hate to disagree with you, Wayne. You haven't seen enough.
No, I guess you're right.
We haven't as a nation.
Well, there's
seen
a whole
enough.
Bunch of people that haven't seen anything. You know,
I'll never forget back the Vietnam era. General William Westmoreland's voiceover as they showed the photograph of the little girl running naked down the road. You remember that photograph?
I do.
And his voiceover behind it saying, "You have to understand these people don't value life the way an American does."
Right.
Oh my God. There's a reason I say God forgive America instead of God bless America.
Yes, I can understand that.
Yeah. You know, and George is flying off to the funeral, and I mean, is he gonna stick out in that crowd like a sore thumb, Wayne? I mean, here's a guy, you know, the Pope made no, you know, I got my differences and everything, that's neither here nor there, but he made it really clear the war in Iraq is a wrong one, and it is a disproportionate response.
Mm-hmm.
And George said, "Wish you wouldn't use all them big words. Fire!"
Right. Enough. And we're stuck with it. But, I mean, it's good to see that, his opinion approval ratings going down and da-da-da. You know, like these people, they're just going to have to admit that they're wrong. We have to remove this man and, you know, move on.
Yeah, well, they're getting dangerous, Wayne.
Oh, yes, they're getting.
I mean, you know, first Tom DeLay comes out and says, you know, we need to bump
them
off.
Judges are going to pay for.
Yeah, I mean, I take that as we need to bump off a few judges to teach them how to behave. That's what it sounded like to me.
Well, it was certainly threatening.
And then Texas.
I mean, under the Patriot Act, I would imagine I could put you away for a long time if you said that.
Well,
about the right person.
Without a doubt. And again, coming out of Texas, and, you know, it's the most polluted state in the union. Apparently, it's gotten into the water supply because their senator, John Cornyn, comes out. Did you see this one?
Yep.
Comes out and says, "Well, I ain't saying killing them judges is right, but I can sure understand why somebody would want to do something like that."
Yeah.
My God. And he hasn't resigned yet?
Yeah. That's tough, ain't it?
I mean, that's... That's a crime, Wayne.
Yes, it is.
That is a federal felony. Advocating violence against members of the government.
Well, and coming out of the mouth of an elected official.
And a Republican, you know, one of the good, godly, upstanding, God-fearing types.
Well, listen, man. I called about something else.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I just don't want to switch off.
No, that's okay.
I don't know. I didn't hear the show last night because, I don't know, Charter was messed up or something.
We didn't
have anything.
I think they've had the flu for a few days.
Okay, so did anybody say anything yesterday about the Friends of Cold Day, the celebration that went into the House?
No.
Did you read about that in the paper?
I missed that.
Where Ron Thompson declared that it was Friends of Cold Day, and all the delegates of the 27th District, Ron Thompson, Virginia Mann, Sally Sussman, and Linda Sumners, escorted Bob Pruitt and Don Nealon into the House to hear the proclamation that this is Friends of Cold. You didn't read about that?
No, I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Oh, God.
Did they strew rose petals in his path?
I thought about, Reverend Moon's coronation there in the Dirksen Senate bill or whatever.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And it made me wonder if the Knights of Knee were going to be in attendance or.
God. Oh.
My God. And listen.
Pandering.
I mean, it gets, you know, I mean, Don Nealon and Bob Pruitt, or, you know, the spa. I'm give me a break. Talk about hacks.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know necessarily about Bob Pruitt, but I can say, you know, I got the degrees to prove it, man. You cut me, I believe, old golden blue. When it comes to Don Nealon, I mean, he really is a great spokesman, and in fact, an evangelist, because
This is the guy that says we got to compete with China.
I know, but
for,
you know,
coal mines.
Yeah, but he also has the profound ability to make 65,000 people stand on their feet and yell Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't understand that.
I was there when we centered the ball into the end zone against Miami. You know, and 65,000, 70,000. Jesus, what are you doing? But yeah, I know.
Well, it was, and then Bob Kiss. Well, I mean, I don't know if, you know, somebody stood up there and yelled, "Let it be proclaimed throughout the land," or what? I mean, I don't.
Thus saith the Pharaoh.
But anyway, Bob Kiss then said that anybody or about the not opponents. I forget the word they used, but
detractors.
It was some reference to the
decent people.
Exactly, Coal River.
Yeah,
you know, and that thing going on, saying that anybody objected. Or that wasn't a friend of coal was turning their back on the state.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
Now, that's what the Speaker of the House of Representatives of West Virginia said.
Well, clearly, LSD has been legalized during the legislature.
Well, I'm going to suggest you something. I would suggest that Speaker Kiss and all of our representatives have turned their back on the people of West Virginia by not regulating and taxing this most valued industry properly.
Right.
Who's, I mean, my God. And then you...
We're not saying they can't do it. We're just saying do it right.
Right,
do
but I mean,
smart.
You know, who is this the most valued industry that is suing the state for $500 million in taxes that they don't think that they should have to pay?
Judy did mention that part.
You know, is this the most valued industry that's blowing the tops off of our mountains?
Tops, middle, part of the bottom.
Right, you know, ruining our streams by filling them up with valley fill.
You know, yeah. Listen, if coal is so good at reclamation and everything, and we recognize it's a finite resource, right?
Yeah.
Here's an idea. We'll do one job at a time. And before you start the next job, you have to clean up the last job.
Well, and, you know, see, if you got your coal the proper way, you would employ a lot more people.
Absolutely.
A lot more people.
Union or non-union?
Now, you know, the with the oil situation, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but it seems to me the more a barrel of oil costs, or I don't know how they do gas in meters, cubic, whatever, costs, the more the coal goes up.
That's true.
So, you know, why don't we mine our coal responsibly with a lot of people?
Yeah.
A whole lot of people.
Because those higher costs, those higher prices could support more workers.
Yes. Yes, they could.
But it doesn't take a whole lot
of
people.
And it can still leave room for profit.
But it only takes one person to run a D9 cat, right?
Right. And rip off the top of a mountain. Yep. And, then, you know, this is also the most valued industry that sets up phony bankruptcy schemes.
Yep.
You know, to bust unions and cheat people out of their health care and retirement that they've been promised all their lives.
Most valued industry
most
in West Virginia.
Most valued industry.
Yeah. You know, if I was, it wasn't too long back they had Tourism Day at the legislature. Wonder if they came in and called them the most valued industry in West Virginia, too.
I don't, did they get their own proclamation?
So,
well, I would be upset about that.
All they do is bring in millions and millions of tourist dollars without destroying much of anything.
No, in fact, I think they kind of advocate let's keep it clean and nice.
Yeah, well, some of them are better than others, but you know, we don't give, and nobody gets a pass around here, Wayne. But you know, the fact of the matter is, the tourism industry brings in millions of dollars, haven't blown up any mountains.
No, they haven't.
So, you know, I guess according to the proclamation from Speaker Kiss and the 27th District delegation, tourism, well, you know, why don't they just shut down because we're not interested in their money because the most valued industry in West Virginia is mountain range removal.
Right.
That's just sort of annoying, Wayne.
That's very annoying to me. I was truly disappointed. And, you know.
So does that
not mean, in Ron Thompson? I mean, you know,
him you expect.
In others.
Linda Sumner, you expect.
Yes, Sally. You know, I just have to think.
Pandering.
She didn't know about it until the end, and they said, here, walk down here with us.
Well, Donnie, let
me... No, she's in there, too, sure.
You have to pander. Democrat or Republican, you have to pander to Cole, and until we develop a core group, Wayne, of people who will tell our politicians it's okay to be moral and ethical about it, and you don't have to pander. See, we can free them from that.
But that's where, I disagree with you there.
Right.
We have to have representatives that are willing to go down there and tell them, I will not pander to you, and that way they could get the people behind them, because they'd represent the people. I mean, here's an industry that has raped this state for over 100 years and is continuing with our blessing. Is suing us for $500 million, destroying our environment, union busting, cheating people out of benefits that they were promised for years, and we have a proclamation that it's the Friends of Coal Day? Give me a break.
Well, you know, you could parse those words and say, if it's the Friends of Coal Day, it's the Not Friends of West Virginia Day.
I would say that.
God.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, I mean,
what are you gonna do?
Nealon, Pruitt, you know, this is the whoring out of the state.
That's a very good word. And these guys, I mean, you know, they didn't make enough money. I mean, you know, how much did Nealon make when he was a coach?
He made a tidy sum every year, and he walked away with a tasty little annuity while he was at it.
I mean, like a million or more or something a year, right?
No, he never made a million a year.
No?
No.
I mean, that basketball coach just went to $750.
Right. But, no, Nealon didn't make, to be fair, he didn't make nearly that much, but he did. I mean, just for quitting, he got...
Well, what did he make? He only made $700,000?
Yeah, probably like $300,000, $400,000, something like that.
Oh, that's rough.
Tough to get
playing
by.
A game and shit.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, tough to get by on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is, man. I'll tell you, it's well. I don't know. And now they're the spokesman for the coal company. Well,
beautiful.
Don, what's his name? From Marshall.
Pruitt.
Yeah, he's the Caterpillar guy. Ain't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the Caterpillar.
Sounds like some sort of creepy superhero. He's Caterpillar Man.
God. Well, listen, man.
He creeps, he crawls. All right. Later.
Okay, watch out for them knights and knees.
Yeah. Me.
Yeah, me.
See ya.
All right, buddy, bye.
We're out of here. Caterpillar Man. Over there around Point Pleasant, we've got Mothman. The Friends of Coal have Caterpillar Man. He never turns into a butterfly. I can't top any of that. I'm gonna knock off for the night now, if you guys don't mind. The show tonight was produced by the inimitable, the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at whiterosesociety.org. Check it out. Lots of good radio on there, and we appreciate his efforts.